This is the opening kickoff on the country's first FM all sports radio station, 105.5 FM WNSP and WNSP.com. The latest sports news, traffic, weather, and timely guests with Mark Heim and Lee Shermanian. The opening kickoff. Here are Mark and Lee.
All right, 6:05 here, the Friday before the SEC championship game, and the day after I wasted 3 hours watching what was supposed to be a National Football League franchise playing football. I spent about 7 minutes looking for paper bags in the house. I said, the hell with it. I went to bed. Welcome in with next 3 hours right here on the sports station WNSP and WNSP.com. We'll talk about what was, and then, of course, we'll look ahead and talk about what could be.
I was only 90 minutes before I said enough's enough. Look, were we expecting a Trevor Lawrence, you know, a highly acclaimed quarterback? No. Taysom Hill, and we've had interviews on this, nobody expected him to go out there, at least I didn't, maybe you did, expected him to be a first-rate elite quarterback. So he throws four interceptions, one, two, three, four. Three of them in the fourth quarter. One of them run back for a touchdown. Dallas wins 27-17. Mark, you can't do this, but if you took away the interceptions, the guy had a pretty good night. 264 yards passing, 101 yards rushing. I mean, if those stats were thrown, let's say, at you from a Lamar Jackson, you'd be raving about it. But unfortunately, he was sacked twice and intercepted four times. And, you know, granted, he had an injured finger, which I'm sure didn't help the cause. But let's face it, you know, we've seen him sporadically over the years, and he didn't come into this as a quarterback that was going to save the franchise. I mean, he was given the opportunity because things weren't going well with Trevor Siemian. And it's pretty obvious when Winston went down, Saints are in big, big trouble. And right now they've lost five in a row, the most since 05. And their chances for playoffs keep getting slimmer and slimmer.
Yeah, so I know the 260-plus yards, one of them came in mop-up time with Deontay Harris in the big, what is it, 70-yard pass right. And run. So, and then there were a couple that could have been intercepted that weren't. And then he just missed on some throws, though. He was either too low or behind. I mean, they had a shot at a touchdown. I think it was Lil' Jordan Humphrey. It was open. I think it was him. Early in the game, and he missed him. It just, the running game wasn't really there. He ran effectively. And I, as much as I like the defense and their ability to stop the run, you just can't keep putting that defense in behind the eight ball.
Defense played
and,
well.
And look, Dallas isn't great, guys. I know. Dallas is not a good, I mean, I guess they're a good football team. They're not a great football team by any stretch of the imagination. They are certainly beatable. But the Saints, I think I'm just done for the year.
All right, well, let's face facts.
Like them, I'm done.
Let's face facts. We've had Mike Dettillier on. We've had others talk about it. What led you to believe that Taysom Hill is a really good throwing quarterback? Nothing. There was nothing out there. I wasn't surprised. I mean, his first pass, some of his completions were nice catches by the receivers. They weren't thrown directly. Look, we're so used to seeing Drew Brees pinpoint accuracy that Taysom Hill, and not to take away, he's just not, he wasn't billed as a really good quarterback. He was a, well, Swiss Army knife, if you want to use the term, but there was nothing to indicate he was going to come in and blow the doors off the Cowboys. I wasn't expecting it. I watched just from the point of amusement to see really what this was all about, all these contract extensions, the money and this and that. But I don't think anybody, or at least I don't I know I didn't expect any miracles out there.
I think Sean Payton did. Sean Payton stood by that man from the day Drew Brees decided to hang it up. That was his guy.
Ian Book.
He wasn't Ian even Book. Active, was he? I don't think even active.
But I'm just saying, I wonder if he'll get it. If they fall out of playoff contention, will they give him that opportunity late in the season?
The best chance for them to win still is to play Siemian or Book and use Hill the way he was designed to be used. They don't like to get him involved as much when he's the next guy up because of, you know, potential injury, but you got to throw that out the window. Clearly, you saw what he can do when the ball's in his hands, and he's not trying to get rid of it. I mean, the guy had that the play where he hurdled the guy was incredible and all that good stuff. But I mean, you got to get the ball in his hands. He had the opportunity to go out there and make some plays. He didn't do it. So here we are.
Hey, Diggs had another interception for Dallas. He's got nine now. Hey, let's offer congratulations to some athletes out there, like Jalen Tolbert, Offensive Player of the Year in the Sun Belt. Congratulations. We should have him on next week. And also Carlton Marshall, his former McGill teammate, was first team all Sun Belt. The Alabama High School, not High School, the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame, among those going in, Philip Rivers, St. Michael's coach.
I've heard of him, yes.
Jake Peavy, right? Keith Askins, do you remember him?
Not
Alabama. Well, the thing that, and some of our listeners can correct me, still maybe, or not even maybe, but the best South Alabama victory ever in basketball was the win over Alabama in the NCAA tournament. It's their only NCAA tournament win. That's the game I broadcast. And Jeff Hodge hit the three-pointer to put the Jags two in front. What people fail to remember, they still had 6 seconds to go in that game. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it was Keith Askins who took the last shot in the lane. And thankfully, it didn't go in, and the Jags won by two. Doyle Alexander. Charlie, you're a baseball guy. What do you remember? He's going in, by the way, to the Alabama Hall of Fame. What do you remember Doyle Alexander for?
I'm not pulling the name out of my hat currently at all, Lee. I'm going to be honest with you.
All right. Think back. Well, I think you were born then in late 80s, right? The Atlanta Braves traded. Oh, you weren't born then?
I was not born. You're 10 years before my time.
I apologize. I'm off on my timing. So think about this. Back in the late 80s, the Atlanta Braves traded Doyle Alexander to Detroit for minor leaguer John Smoltz. How'd that work out?
It worked out pretty good. I know Smoltz's name, so that means it went fine.
Yeah, well, Alexander actually did well with Detroit. I think he was like 7-8-0 for the Tigers that year, but Smoltz went on to a Hall of Fame career. So those are some of the ones going into the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. Want to congratulate anybody today? We didn't do well with our local volleyball teams. Both Spring Hill and South Alabama got beat in NCAA competition yesterday.
So did you all see the Brian Kelly video that went viral? So Brian Kelly, I think this was Wednesday, stopped by the old LSU basketball game and gave a rah-rah speech to the fans. And all was well until, I don't know, about 30 or 45 seconds into it, dude breaks into what I think is a Southern accent, which he is just getting decimated for, just obliterated on social media for. And it got me thinking, what would have been the worst, like, Southern accents? You know, actors are always trying to play the parts of Southern roles. Like, what are the worst accents that you've ever heard?
Can we even go further than that?
Please,
maybe somebody tries to emulate a British accent or vice versa.
Yeah, the worst accents, the worst fake accents of all time. Because he's just getting destroyed right now. Maybe we'll play a little bit of it for you when we come back, if we can find it real quick. But yeah, so we need to get into that. And of course, the SEC championship game.
We're going to actually talk about that and the others when we get to our open segment at 8:30. We'll hit them all. There's like 8, 9.
You mean 2 hours and 15 minutes from now?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's shorter than you spent watching the Saints game last night.
Yeah, probably.
You know, speaking of length, I was looking at the box score for the Pike Road game, high school game last night. They won big, like 51 to whatever, to win the 5A championship. That game went over 3 hours. For a high school game.
Yeah.
And they don't have as many commercial breaks.
All right, so we got a lot going on. We're going to coming up a little bit here at 6:30. We'll talk about those high school football games with Corey LeBounty. He's actually broadcasting the Vigor game, so we'll get his thoughts on the Vigor's chances of grabbing a state championship. Bob Baumhauer will talk some Alabama, Georgia at 6:50. Mike Dettillier on the Saints.
And LSU.
Jim Nagy, the executive director of the Reese's Senior Bowl at 7:30. Dan Matthews on Alabama, Georgia at 8 o'clock. We'll do our Miller Lite Golf Report. We'll do some predictions as well. The accents are already rolling in. Nick Cage, Con Air. We might already have our winner. That's going to be tough to beat. Kevin Costner and Robin Hood. But I don't know if that counts because he didn't do an accent. which is the problem. Scoreboard, traffic, and weather. We are off and running on a Friday edition. It's the opening kickoff right here on the sports station, WNSP.
Well, this is a great way to get started, and I haven't even won all my games yet. It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family, and we are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana, but more importantly, to be with you great fans and to be part of what is going to be an incredible ride here at Louisiana State University.
All right, it's 6:21, and he's there with his family, and I'm Mark, and that's Lee, and welcome back in to WNSP. So we got some reaction here.
What does that sound like you just did? Now it's starting to create a buzz, and I'm thinking, who does that sound like? Oh, I'll come up with it.
All right,
do
you
it
come
again.
Up with
do
it
one more time.
Well, we're WNSP. Welcome in.
Matt's Bill Clinton impersonation is what it sounds like to me.
That's okay. Well, there's somebody else too. That's a good one though. Yeah.
Someone said the entire movie of Next of Kin, which is just hilarious. That's pretty good. Sling Blade.
Billy Joe?
Yeah, Billy Bob Thornton. But yeah, Nick Cage has got to be the leader in the clubhouse, Con Air. Someone said Hillary Clinton. But yeah, we're asking you for the worst fake accents in the history of the world.
Do you think he was really trying to do it like that, or he was trying to be funny?
I don't know, but here's the thing.
You can't get away with anything
today.
It
sounded a little bit more country accent than Southern, which is, of course, different.
Yeah, it didn't really sound like a true Southern drawl.
It's certainly not a Louisiana accent.
No. Not even close. Not a Cajun accent.
Yeah. It was just a very bizarre moment there in Baton Rouge.
I remember the time I was broadcasting the Jags, and we had a sports information director who had a real, true Southern drawl, and we went up to Ohio State, and we were in their sports information office, and the people up there just couldn't—they loved it. They couldn't get enough of him talking. Mm. It was funny.
What's the worst beatdown in basketball you've ever seen, Lee Shervanian?
Well, my very first Jag game. In fact, it was one of the biggest beatdowns in Jag history. I forgot even the team we were playing. It was my first game I ever did back in 1980, I think, 81. And they just slaughtered the team they were playing. But here's a good one. We were in the Sun Belt Conference basketball tournament. And you always think about, well, you hope the Jags can win. And you wonder, what will be your closing line? You know, you know how teams win, and it's a miracle, and Jags are going to this NCAA tournament. This was the finals, and Western Kentucky was the favorite, and they had a really good team. Mark, we were up like 20, 25, and at the end of the game, I mean, there was no suspense or excitement at the end. We had them beat so bad. That probably was one of the biggest beatdowns in a game that ever broadcast in favor of the team I was with. Now, I've been on the short end. I was at a game. Do you remember a game when the Jags went to Louisville? Louisville got off to something like a 17-0 start or something like that and just annihilated South, and the turnovers were incredible. And then I did a game, Rutgers in Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh was a highly ranked team, and this was Tom Young's first year at the Rutgers Athletic Center, and I think they got off to like a 16-2 lead or something like that, and then the fans came out and protested. There was some protest, and they couldn't clear the fans, so the game went down as a no contest.
Well, that was just a really long way of me bringing up the fact that the Oklahoma City Thunder, if you're a Saints fan today, it's not. It can always be worse. You could be the Oklahoma City Thunder. They lost by 73 points last night. How does a professional basketball team lose by 73 points?
Especially without their best player, Ja Morant.
It doesn't matter. 73.
No, I'm talking about Memphis.
Right. I'm just saying.
Didn't have their best player.
It's absolutely embarrassing. I mean, even on those nights where everything is going in for one team and nothing's happening for the other team, that doesn't happen. They were up as many as 78, and so they closed the gap. So you got to love the fight in that team.
Hit a 3-pointer at the buzzer.
My goodness, what a disgrace! I mean, I'll be honest, I didn't see any of it, but damn, why don't you just start running some clock? Or do we go to a running clock in NBA like they do in other, like in high school sports?
Worst one you've been a part of. You've coached a lot of games. You've seen games on TV.
Oh, I've lost by 40 or 50.
Get out. You did not.
Yeah.
To who?
It's not important. I mean, it's not as important as playing Louisville or wherever you were, but at a summer league game, we had a 10th grade team that they put a varsity team in the 10th grade division because there were no other varsity teams. We lost over the summer by like 40.
I didn't know they played long enough for a score to...
I had a 6th grade team go up to Birmingham and lose to the 24th rated 6th grade team in the country by 50. That was... probably
so what do you,
4 or 5 years ago.
As a coach, what do you do there? You just kind of like, you know.
You just keep coaching them up and tell them it's good experience. All right.
It's like, good experience, guys. Thanks.
We're going to talk some high school coming up here in just a minute. We're going to talk to Corey LeBounty about some high school football and hopefully a blue map coming back to Mobile
area.
We
need it. They're the only team that has a chance now to bring a championship.
What also keys to the game tomorrow, Alabama, Georgia, what's the one or two things that need to happen for Alabama above and beyond scoring more points than Georgia for all you smart butts out there?
I think number one, and I'm going to pick Alabama and in the points. I am.
Of course you are.
Yeah. And I would pick them straight up too. I think they have to make Stetson Bennett uncomfortable, which I think they will. I really do. That's a key to me. Make him uncomfortable. Number two, it's going to be hard to establish a running game with the status of Robinson, so they're not going to be able to do that. The other thing is they're going to have to somehow, some way, complete a long touchdown pass or two, and I think they will. I think that's where Georgia's vulnerable. Now, look, Georgia's defense has been outstanding. They have not allowed more than 17 points a game this year, so it's incumbent on the Alabama defense to keep that score down. And I don't know if Georgia's really faced a quarterback as good as Bryce Young this year, have they? I mean, I'm asking. I don't think so. I mean, the guy's on the way to the Heisman, so I'm saying they probably haven't. So the game is on his shoulders now. It's not on the running game because I don't know if they'll have a running game. I don't think they'll be able to run against the Georgia defense. So it's going to be incumbent on Bryce Young to be smart with his throws and to find the receivers and maybe get a long touchdown or two. That's what I think. What do you think?
I think that right side of that offensive line got exposed last week. How much of that can you fix in a week? Nick Saban's talked about trying as many different options and rotations on that offensive line and combinations. Can they get that done? Because, again, if there's a weak spot in this Georgia defense, it's that secondary. Can they protect Bryce Young long enough to get the ball out there and make those plays? They're going to have to try to outscore, right? They're going to have to go out there and we're not talking ball control offense and moving the chains. We're talking about going out there and just shock and awe. I don't think they get it done, but we will continue to talk about it throughout the course of today's show, which starts with Corey LeBounty next, Bob Baumhauer at 6:50, and Mike Dettillier at 7. Back to back to back. Here we go on a Friday edition. Continue with the comments in the app. The worst Southern accents in the history of the world. You can put Brian Kelly in there if you want. Go.
Today's music on Sports Radio 105.5 is brought to you by 96.5 The Crab, classic rock and blues.
Hey, 6:34. Thanks for making us part of your Friday morning. It's the opening kickoff. Mark Heim, Lee Shervanian with you right here on the sports station WNSP and WNSP.com.
To update you on what happened in the high school playoffs yesterday in 5A Pike Road, we're certainly familiar with them. They won 51-14 over Pleasant Garden, and Pike Road finishes the year at 14-0. Sweetwater wins 1A, 3A won by Piedmont. And Mark, in this game, they were trailing 29-6 at the half and came from behind to beat Montgomery Academy. And also on the local scene, we had two volleyball teams in the NCAA tournament. Spring Hill, they went to West Florida. They've never beaten it before, and they still haven't. West Florida wins that Division II NCAA volleyball tournament. And then South Alabama getting in and losing in the first round to Miami, 3-1. Let's talk high school football up there in Birmingham with Corey Labounty, who will be on the call at 11 a.m. on WNSP. Viger and Oneata, good morning, Corey. How are you today?
Good morning, guys. I'm outstanding, just ready for another splendid, beautiful day here in Birmingham, Alabama. I think the high here yesterday reached 75 degrees, and it was sunny. So we're going to have a great weather day here at Protective Stadium.
Are we going to have a great effort by Viger today and bring home a championship?
Absolutely. I think the Wolfpack will definitely bring back a blue map. I mean, I feel real confident, along with Coach McKenzie and a lot of the other Wolfpack fans as well. This team has really been focused, of course, this being Coach McKenzie's second year as head football coach at Viger, but he's done a tremendous job so far at Viger. And they're 13-1, and they're going to be taking on a Oneata Redskin team that is 13-1 also. So, again, when you start talking about Viger coming into this game, they're averaging 33 points a game, and Oneata is averaging 35 points a game. These 10 teams have never met each other in the playoffs, so this will be a first time for both of these teams playing one another.
What leads you to believe that Viger will win this game? What has happened during their season, or what do they possess that maybe Oneata doesn't?
They just have studs. I mean, Viger is a very well-balanced team. You're talking about offensively, they're led by Anthony Mix Jr., the 6'3", 220-pound senior quarterback. He's thrown for over 1,533 yards on the season, along with Jermaine Coleman, his running back. He has almost 1,000 rushing yards on the season, and this massive Viger offensive line getting it done up front. And defensively, Lee, they're just as stingy. They're only giving up 12 points per game. And then when you talk about, do they have any big-time superstars? Well, Michael Towner is an emerging junior. The 6'2", 245-pound junior has 81 tackles and 10 sacks on the season, along with sophomore lineman Brandon Purifoy. He has 113 tackles. You ask me, what do I think will make them win? It's just the confidence and the swagger that this team has been playing with. They only have one loss, and that was by 4 points in week number 10 of the regular season. Their only loss to St. Paul's on the road. But these guys are road warriors. They have not had a home stadium all year long. They played home games at Ladd. They played home games at Theodore. I mean, they played on Saturday. They played on Friday. They're just going to get it done today here at Protective Stadium, if you ask me.
If it comes down the wire where you need a field goal or so, do they have a pretty good kicker?
Absolutely not. That's one of the biggest things that has been the Achilles heel that has led to them possibly, you know, not being able to flip the field. And that's going to be one of my keys to victory today for Viger and for Oneata, too. Special teams, the third phase of the game, offense, defense, and, of course, special teams. It's something that Viger, they have the ability to pump the football. Ryan Kidd, he averages 37 yards a punt, but extra point-wise, they're only 16 out of 34, so don't be surprised if they line up at that 3-yard line and go for two a couple of times.
16 to 34, man, that sounds like Shaq's free throw stat line, man.
Hey, Mark, I tell you what, it's an adventure every time Viger scores because, you know, if you're comfortable and you have a good lead, of course, you can take that opportunity to kick the extra point. But I saw them go for two several times when they played Faith Academy. And again, that could be the difference maker. Now, again, they do pump the ball very well on kickoffs. They want to go ahead and try to kick that thing in bounds and not have that automatic penalty to make it go out of bounds and give the Oneata Redskins great field position to start their drive. So that's going to be something to keep an eye on today.
Corey Labounty will be calling the game for WNSP up there, Viger and Oneata. So how much of a difference at the brand-new field up there in Birmingham versus Legion Field?
It gives you a great homey and cozy atmosphere, because Protective Stadium, it's a beautiful stadium. The atmosphere around it, you feel like the fans are a lot closer to you. I mean, of course, when you're playing in front of 85,000 or you're playing in front of 100,000 and then you only have 15,000 to 16,000 show up, you know, you just feel like you're in a cave and you feel like you hear a lot of echoes. But the crowd, again, Thursday night with Thompson in Central Phoenix City, this stadium holds 40,000. I would say there was probably at least maybe 17 to 18,000 there, making a lot of noise. And it feels like a cozier atmosphere for these players and speaking with them about how they felt. Because both of these teams, again, Aniana has been at every venue that the Super 6 and Super 7 has ever been held, whether that was Legion Field, Bryant Denny, Jordan Hare, and now Protective. Vigor's pretty much the same way. These two programs mirror each other from a history standpoint.
You ever think we'll ever see the Super 7 come down to Hancock-Whitney?
I don't see it anytime soon. Do I think it can eventually happen? Absolutely, I do. I don't see it happening here within the next 6 or 7 years. I'm glad that Mobile, Alabama did get the North-South game back. I was, you know, sad to see the Alabama-Mississippi All-Star game go away, but I know Danny Cordy and his crew, they do an outstanding job trying to bring events, football especially, back to the Mobile, Alabama area. So eventually, yes, I do think we will see the state championships being held at Hancock-Whitney, because, you know, when you start talking about how does Birmingham get everything, whether it's the finals in basketball, whether it's the finals in football again now, I think that eventually we're going to crack that ice and Mobile will get a state championship game.
Corey, man, thank you for getting up early with us and hanging with us. Enjoy Birmingham. We'll be following you there on Twitter at CALABounty. Enjoy the game and we'll be in touch.
All right, look forward to it. Guys, you have a wonderful day.
That's Corey LaBounty, ladies and gentlemen. What time's that game?
11 a.m.
11 a.m. And once again, you can watch that game absolutely nowhere on your television.
Absolutely.
Screen.
I've had people calling me up and asking me. I have no control over it. I guess you have to go to what they're streaming, the Alabama High School Athletic Association Network or whatever it is. But it used to be that we had these games, and apparently no TV station.
It's probably on
here.
NFHS Network, which is kind of where I live now. So
you can listen to it on WNSP.
Yeah, boy, get you some. That was my fake accent of something else. I don't know. We're talking about the worst Southern accents, by the way. Thanks to Brian Kelly, who made a
good start for him.
Yeah, well, it's a decent start. He's talking about winning national championships, though, and I don't know. I got a problem with him referring to LSU as Louisiana State University. I mean, he's not wrong. But how many of us walking around here talking about the Tigers over the years have said, wow, that Louisiana State University, they're pretty tough. They're going to be a formidable opponent.
Not to be confused with Louisiana and Lafayette, and they're in the Sun Belt Conference Championship.
Don't even get me started with that stuff. They're Lafayette. End of story. Ridiculous.
Yeah, they put in their notes, though, that you're only supposed to call them Louisiana. Or there's another.
Is mama called him Clay? I'm going to call him Clay.
The very first game I ever called was a volleyball game against Louisiana Lafayette, and their athletic director sent an email saying that I had to stop referring to them as Louisiana Lafayette to our SID during the game, then had to forward it to me.
Did you?
I mean, I was told to, so I did, but on all the paperwork, they're Louisiana Lafayette. His mama named him Clay.
Yeah.
I'm going to call him Cassius Clay.
Yeah. No, I that happened to me once. I did some story or some post for AL.com, and I got some sort of email from somebody saying, we are Louisiana, not Louisiana, or not Lafayette, or whatever it was. And so I saw this little icon right there in my email that looks like a trash can, and I clicked it because I think that's just stupid. I mean, call yourself what you want, but don't tell me what to call you. If you've been called that for my whole life.
Louisiana Monroe fans call them ooh la la because they think they're fancy now.
Yeah, they're real fancy. All right. Let's call Bob Baumhauer. Wake him up. Let's see what's going on. Let's talk some football with
Aloha.
Oh, look at you with your Hawaiian accent.
Well, that's Bob's with Aloha Hospitality.
I am aware. But you remind me of that every day.
But the listeners aren't.
I'm sure, but they know. You guys know. You guys are sharp. All right, let's do that. Mike Dettillier, he's going to join us at 7 and talk about the waste of 3 hours last night. We'll also ask him about Brian Kelly, too. So a lot going on here on a Friday edition. Let's wrap up hour number one next. Stay with us.
Today's music on Sports Radio 105.5 is brought to you by 96.5 The Crab, classic rock and blues.
Hey, this is Amari Cooper. You're listening to Sports Radio WNFP.
That music can only mean one thing. We're in the 80s.
It could also mean that we're leading into Bob Baumhauer.
Oh.
But before we do that, let's give away a Chick-fil-A gift card because we're going to be talking Georgia and Alabama. And the question of the day is, Georgia has not allowed more than 17 points in a game during the regular season. They become the first team since, and that's, you got to fill that in, the last team to go through the first 12 games in a season without giving up more than 17 points in any of them. So if you know the answer, give Charlie a call at 694-1055. So give him the answer as to which team. 17 points. Wow, that's unbelievable. Bob Baumhauer is on the line with us right now. Bob, good morning. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Thank
All right, let's give you that opportunity to kick it off in a sense. Who do you think wins the SEC title game and why?
Well, I'm biased, obviously. And I will tell you, I think Alabama can win if both sides of the ball, both the offense and defense, well, and special teams can play a good, intense, relatively mistake-free game. They can beat Georgia, but it's going to be really tough. And you know how I look at things. Great defenses win championships, and Georgia has a great defense. I mean, just a very, very good defense. It's right from the beginning, you could tell that this was a special group, and they've only seemed to get better. So I'm hoping for an Alabama win. I'm thinking I'll go 35. I do believe that they will score more than 17 points. So I'm going to go 35-24 Alabama. And that's, it may be wishful thinking, but that's what I'm going to do.
Do you think the fact that there's urgency with Alabama, not so much with Georgia, meaning that if Georgia doesn't win, that they still get in, do you think that plays any part in this?
It really shouldn't, because these players, and I think players today are smarter than, you know, when I was playing the game. They get it. They understand what's going on here, and it really shouldn't play a part. And, you know, nobody in my mind prepares better than Coach Saban. These players that are on this Alabama team, they have definitely got challenges with inconsistency of play, et cetera, but they never give up. The Iron Bowl was the best example of that. And so I think they know what time it is. Doesn't matter what it's about as far as how the win or loss affects each team. I think this team is going to be doing everything they can to finally put something together, because really Alabama this whole year. I haven't seen a game where I felt good that they have played their best game, or they've even played a good game together collectively, both sides of the ball. You know, defense had to step up a few times to make some plays to win games. Offense had to do the same thing, but they've really not had a game all year where they put it all together. Hopefully, they are able to get to a place where they can put it, they're going to have to put it together to even have a chance to beat this Georgia team.
Bob Baumhauer, our guest here on WNSP. To that point, though, about coming into a game, I guess from a psychological standpoint, were you ever in a situation where you had a big emotional win, maybe whether it was in college or the pros, the prior week, and was it more difficult, or did you find that you had to make yourself right mentally to get ready for the next one? You know, Alabama has the big emotional come-from-behind win against Auburn. Georgia had the preseason game against Georgia Tech. It's kind of like Michigan, right? Michigan's going into the Big Ten game against Iowa after the big emotional win over Ohio State. It just seems like it's got a little bit of letdown written all over it.
Yeah, and I tell you, you know, you got to remember I played for Coach Bryant and Coach Shula. So when it comes to, again, preparation, whether it's physical or mental, those guys or at the top of the game every week as far as that part of the game, you know, having you ready to play, regardless of who you played the week prior. But it's going to happen. I mean, these are young people. Emotions play a big part. That kind of thing is going to happen from time to time. And we've talked about this in the past for years, that one of Saban's, you know, number one challenges is to have these young folks ready to play every week, not thinking that, you know, they're unbeatable. Now, I don't think this Alabama team feels that way in any way. But, you know, a lot of times that's the biggest challenge for a head coach, is to have the team ready mentally more so than physically.
How does Alabama put pressure on Stetson Bennett? I think they have to make him very uncomfortable in this game.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, this is they've worked all year to get here. I got to think that Coach Saban and the coaches are going to, you know, they're going to pull out all the stops. And, you know, he's not afraid to do it. I mean, he did it in the SEC championship game however many years ago against Georgia with Tua. And so he's not afraid to let it all hang out. I got to think that they're going to do everything they can to put pressure. They're going to do everything they can to put pressure on both sides of the ball, and on the offensive side, I'd say they're going to really work hard to go vertical if they can to try to loosen up this defense. You know, if they can do that, I don't think they can do it with a running game, but I think they can do it with a passing game.
All right, Bob. Before we let you go, what's new with Aloha Hospitality Restaurants and the holidays coming up?
Well, you know, we've got the gift certificates that, and whether it's Dolphins or Las Floriditas or Wing Fingers or Baumhauer's, we've got the gift certificates that, especially in a year like this year where, you know, shopping's maybe a little different than it has been in the past. We've got them ready to go. We've got our sauces, and we've got the party packs, holiday party packs. We're all on standby. Just come on by and we'll be glad to help.
Bob, have a great weekend. Enjoy the game, and we look forward to being at Wing Fingers on Monday for the Monday morning quarterback. Yep.
Yeah, we're looking forward to seeing you there. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, bye-bye.
All right, coming up, hour number two, Mike Dettillier will kick things off. And wait, let me check. Yeah, Taysom just threw it to the wrong guy again. But it's okay because, you know, his finger hurts, so it works out. And good note is the guy didn't actually catch it. It was thrown low into behind him. So there's that. We're very fortunate. Jim Nagy's going to join us at 7:30. The executive director of the recent Senior Bowl, Dan Matthews, on Alabama, Georgia at 8 o'clock. And, of course, we'll do our Miller Lite Golf Report as well. What's the worst Southern accent or worst accent of all time? And where does Brian Kelly now rank in that list? Hit us up in the app, WNSP.com. It's the opening kickoff right here on the sports station, WNSP.